Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are talking with Dr. C.J. Peters. We are talking about the fact that viruses aren't real picky about who they go after, are they?
No, that's one of the very democratic things about these bugs. There are some viruses that are viruses of different social classes and different habits and so on, but there's a virus for everybody. And I think one of the examples, we were talking about this hantavirus situation just before the break, and we discovered this virus in the Southwest. It seemed to be disproportionately a disease of the Navajo people. But then it turned out it wasn't because they were Navajo, it was because they were rural. And the rural dwellers, Anglo, Hispanic, Navajo, were the people who were being affected. And now we've discovered that in certain areas, the very richest people are at risk from these diseases. We had
we had
a case in Long Island shortly after we discovered the virus, because the person who was infected owned a very nice, very large house with beautiful grounds around the house, a wonderful place for the little rodents that carry the virus to live. And when it started getting cold, they came into the house because they wanted to get warm and have a little chow, I assume, and bingo. So these viruses are really equal opportunity.
When we're looking at the world with an increasingly large human population, many of whom live in places that can't afford the crowding, that they're already pretty crowded, don't we up the odds of epidemics? Let me just get right to the point here. When we've got an exploding human population, don't we as a species put ourselves at risk for things like viruses?
No, I think it's a terrible problem. And I think it is more than just the direct effects. There are indirect effects also. Take, for example, the mega cities, and I mean, there's a direct effect. More people crowded together so that there are more opportunities for viruses to adapt to spreading from person to person. But the other things that go with the mega cities, if your population is growing faster than your gross national product, then you have a situation where those mega cities are not going to have the sanitation they need. They're not going to be able to afford that sanitation. This is going to press on the food supply. That means there's going to be more irrigation projects. What are the irrigation projects going to lead to? More problems with mosquito control, changes in the environment so that when we clear forest and plant cereal crops, we're going to have an ideal condition for rodents, which can also bring viruses. And then with all this pressure on the water supply to irrigate and to feed these, to irrigate the crops and to feed the people, we're going to leave less and less opportunities for disposal of waste. We're going to make it harder and harder to use chemicals to control these insects and so on. And we're going to also get into a corner with viruses of plants. There are two different groups of plant viruses that are extremely important today, and these viruses are going to be one of the limits to the Green Revolution. We're going to have to continually be dealing with the viruses of plants to be able to sustain our style of agriculture. In other words, what we like to do is we get something that grows very well. Maybe we've got to put a lot of fertilizer in and so on and so on, but basically we're going to get a very high yield, and it's going to be one kind of wheat or rice or corn, and we're going to plant it as far as the eye can see, and it's going to be resistant to some diseases and susceptible to others. So when a disease comes along that it's susceptible to, it's going to go through it very quickly.
Sounds like the potato famine.
This is the 150th anniversary of the Irish potato famine. You probably know the story better than I do, but there are more than 300 varieties of potatoes in South America. Sure, if you're an Andean Indian and you're living close to the bone and the blight comes and gets one of your potato varieties, you're going to suffer.
You've got 299 left.
But there's going to be others left. You and your neighbors and so on will have other varieties. But in Ireland, they didn't. And so when the genetics...
This is very complex stuff.
Let me back up. John Keegan sat in the same room and talked about something called professional deformation.
John Keegan is an historian,
Of war, and he's talking about seeing the world through the eyes of someone who studies war. you look at viruses, you've been involved with the hot viruses, the Hantavirus, the Ebola, and several of its manifestations, some near Washington, D.C. And it's real easy to treat this as the crisis du jour. The publicity has been fairly high. There have been some very popular books written. In a way, it looks like the population crisis of 20 years ago. And people look around today and say, well, we solved that. Is this just the crisis du jour, or is it going to get me? I mean, that's sort of the bottom line. That's what everybody wants to know.
Well, I think that you've got to see this in the long term. And I think that if you take a long-term perspective...
How long is long-term?
50 years. Then it's a serious problem. I mean, it's a very serious problem. And I think that when you talk about the population crisis being solved, I don't think it's solved. I think somebody got their numbers wrong, and it's going to come a little later than has been predicted. But we're getting closer and closer to that point. I mean, you can do the reductio ad absurdum. I mean, if there's one person on every square yard of the earth, it ain't going to be a good place. We have to stop before that. And there are certain places where you're headed in that direction, and where the population densities are incredibly intense. And those places, I think you have to wonder if they are going to come to us tomorrow and ask us to share our part of the earth with them because they haven't controlled their population situation. Now,
in a way, you represent the cure for that, though. It's not a pretty cure, but...
You as a virologist?
I mean, this is one of the four horsemen, plague and pestilence.
Yeah, but I think unless we can bring our civilization and our integration of the planet to a slightly higher level, we're going to see diseases arise that we may not be very happy with. I mean, HIV is a good example.
You mean brand new diseases?
Brand new diseases, sure. You have to look, if you take a historical perspective and you look back, and maybe this is not a very popular way to think, but you look back 5,000 years. We lived as little bands of hunter-gatherers. We didn't have diseases like measles. We didn't have polio. Because these diseases, these viruses that cause these diseases, have to have new hosts to hop to all the time. So if you have a small band of people in the middle of the Amazon forest, or in the middle of the African forest, or living in the steppes of Eurasia, or in the small villages in Europe, anywhere in the world, there's not enough people in one place to provide new hosts for these viruses. It wasn't until about 5,000 years ago when in the Tigris-Euphrates basin we started to have substantial numbers of people who were brought together by irrigated agriculture, who built the great cities that we excavate today and read about in the Bible. And when this happened, viruses that were viruses of animals, and we were domesticating animals at that time, crossed over into humans and adapted to humans. So measles came about at that time. Measles then spread to Europe and later came to the Americas. Measles didn't come to the Americas until post-Columbian times. So these were new viruses, and I'm saying that it happened then and it can happen again.
It sounds like there are two parts. One is population density and the other is travel, connections between population centers, and we meet both standards pretty well now, don't we?
Meet or exceed.
Gee, that's encouraging. We're going to be back in a moment to see what we're going to do about all this with Dr. C.J. Peters. Bill Russell and I are with him at the Commerce Club in beautiful downtown.
I am reminded of the story that they told me about what to do when you meet a grizzly bear.
Would you care to share that story,
No,
Bill?
But it doesn't look more hopeful. I hope it's more hopeful when we come back.
I hope so, too. Something about kissing
yourself goodbye,
yes. But we'll be back, and you can get yourself out of that box, Bill, in just a moment. Please stay with us. This is the Paula Gordon Show.